Okay, we're studying the laws of meditation. And our foundation scripture is going to be Psalm 1:1. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man. How many want to be a blessed person? That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. And in his law doeth he meditate day and night. Everybody say day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Rivers of water. Rivers of water. Out of your belly. Out of your belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Amen. Joshua 1:8 says this, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereupon day and night to observe and to do all that is written therein. Then, what, Pastor? After you have meditated to do all that is written therein, then you shall have good success, and then you shall prosper. I may have gotten those last two words, those last, this book of the law shall depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereupon day and night, that thou may observe all written, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. The key thing I want you to recognize there, that thou observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now, many years ago, I thought that the Old Testament was exactly that. That all I wanted to stay in was the New Testament. And then as I began to assimilate and pray in the Spirit and worship God, I began to realize that there were some of these hidden truths in the Bible. And let me say this tonight. I didn't say this last week. But in every chapter, in every book of the Bible, the mind of God the Father and the mind of Christ is revealed. Remember that. When you're reading these chapters, when you're reading these verses, even in the Old Testament, you have to bear in mind this is coming out of the heart of God. It's coming out of his heart. Even when you go through the begats, he's got a reason to giving you the begats. So every book of the Bible, every chapter of the Bible, is contained therein, each book, each chapter, each verse, is the heart and the mind of God. So going back to Psalms chapter 1, according to this verse, that if we will delight, or verses, if we delight in the law of God, or the word of God, and if you'll learn to meditate in it day and night, it says that you would make your way prosperous. You would make your way prosperous. Prosperity doesn't just mean having a lot of money. Prosperity means you get your healing when you need it. Prosperity means God moves when you need it. Prosperity means when you're walking in San Antonio and your niece has meningitis and you walk in that room and it leaves in Jesus' name. That's prosperity. That's prosperous. That's what it means to be prosperous. This justice alone, that God will make us prosperous, should be enough motivation to convince us to begin to meditate God's word. It should be more than enough now. There shouldn't be anything more in the world that you would desire than being a blessed man or woman of God. So what qualifies a person to be blessed by God? According to Psalms chapter 1, he is the one that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He is one that stands not in the way of sinners. And we're going to go over this and what does this mean. He does not sit in the seat of a scornful. In other words, this man does not take his counsel from the world. Nor does he do things the way the world does them. If anyone doesn't take counsel from the world, or if they don't do the things the way the world does them, then where will they get their counsel? But this blessed man, he delights in the law of God, and in the word of God does he meditate both day and night. This is where this man gets his counsel. So as we begin in this topic called meditation, so what is meditation? What is meditation? First of all, meditation is not memorization. It's not memorization. Although memorization assists meditation. Are you listening to me? Meditation is not studying. Although studying assists meditation. Meditation is not reading. Although reading assists meditation. Now many of you look at me like, what is meditation? Well, now listen. And I'm going over this slow so you'll be able to hear the podcast. I'm going to ask Ricardo if he can put this one up as soon as his meeting is over with tomorrow morning or whenever he has time within the next day or so to get this thing up so we can begin this tour. Meditation is when you learn how to let the Holy Spirit get involved with your spirit in such a way that the Holy Spirit takes the counsel that left the heart of God in the form of the Word and reconstructs it in your heart in such a way that it becomes the counsel that you walk by, so that you no longer do things the way the world does them. The world has a lot of good counsel to offer, but it doesn't guarantee you that you will prosper. I'm going to read that one more time. Meditation. It's when you learn, so there's a learning process in this, how to allow the Holy Spirit to get involved with your spirit in such a way that He, the Holy Spirit, takes the counsel that left the heart of God in the form of the Word and reconstructs it in your heart in such a way that it becomes the counsel that you walk by, so that you no longer do the things you would do the world's way anymore. Now let me give you a very concise definition. Meditation is when the Word becomes bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. Let me say it this way. Meditation is when you become a part of the Word and the Word becomes a part of you. You become a part of the Word and the Word becomes a part of you. That's why we meditate. People that meditate don't ask God, is it possible? You know why? Because they become part of the Word.
Amen.
Now, what you got to ask yourself when you lay hands on the sick and the sick don't recover, you got to ask yourself, okay, I must not have become that part of the Word. So help me become that part of the Word, so that I can begin to do things that you said that we could do. Amen?
Amen.
The Word guarantees any man who meditates on the Word day and night that whatsoever he does will prosper. Now, just because the world will offer you good counsel, it doesn't exclude the fact that it doesn't guarantee you prosperity. There are a lot of people graduating from colleges today, this month, this week, graduating trade school, high school. That worldly counsel does not guarantee them success.
Amen.
Now, am I against education? No. But I'm just saying that it's not guaranteeing success.
Amen.
But yet and still, why do we tell our children, you've got to get an education? I'm not against education, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But we have what we are doing is this. Now listen to me. You are instructing your children to take their counsel from the world. It's what you're doing. Now I'm not saying they shouldn't go to college or to a trade school. I have a nephew that graduated this past week, and he's trying to decide, because college tuition is so high, he's trying to decide whether he should go out and get loans or whether he should go to a trade school or a junior college. And I said, man, listen, go to a trade school, get you a trade, go to work, serve God, and let Him show you what He wants you to do. Now, if I could have taught him how to meditate the Word of God day and night, he'd come out of high school going, I know exactly what God wants me to do.
Right.
I'm going to OU. I'm going to OSU. He's going to come by. Go soon. Don't get mad at me. I know we're in Texas. All right. But the point is, he would know exactly what he's going to do. See, so when you have a decision to make, don't think, okay, God, I'm stuck with this. I don't know what to do. Just go, God, I gotta focus on you. I gotta meditate in your word day and night.
Amen.
Because within me, see, if you'll begin to assimilate 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, what you're going to find is that he put the life in you. And you now have, not, you are now able to fellowship with him because of that life. You're going to get that eventually. You ought to start meditating 1 John, 2 John. Just because the world has good counsel, it doesn't exclude the fact that the Word has a higher counsel to offer. This is what this higher counsel will say. This higher counsel can be found through meditation. For example, this higher counsel says, himself bore my sins, sicknesses, and diseases in his own body in this room. This higher counsel says, by his stripes you were healed. This higher counsel says, he became poor for your sake, that you through his poverty might be made rich. This higher counsel says that you don't have to be sick. You don't have to be poor. Yet the world will tell you that the homeless rate is going up. And by the way, I just want you to know that in Houston, the homeless rate is going down.
Amen.
And I believe it's going down because the people that there's a remnant here in Houston, Texas, we've begun to pray.
Amen.
And I pray you're part of that.
Amen.
Now listen, you may not have called out every homeless person by name. But I believe because you know how to pray, I believe wherever the soles of your feet shall tread, that land you shall possess.
Amen.
Now, since we don't walk everywhere we go, we drive. So every place your tires shall tread, that land shall you possess.
Amen.
Okay? So I believe as we begin to pray, we begin to drive out that poverty spirit, that mentality. But again, we don't want to take our counsel from the world. Now, I just heard someone say this in the Holy Spirit. I know Jesus said you will always have the poor. I got that. But he didn't feel it have to be homeless. We will get counsel from the you're going to get counsel from one source or another. The question is, are you getting your counsel from the Word? But if you're not meditating on the Word day and night in your heart, then you're not getting your counsel from God. You're getting your counsel from the world. Did you get that? You're going to get your counsel from someplace. And if you're not meditating on the Word day and night, then you're getting your counsel from the world. You're not getting your counsel from God. And you got to keep knocking that door until your spirit man begins to show you what that counsel is, because it's there. Again, meditation is the involvement of the Holy Spirit in your spirit to extract the counsel that you need so desperately to walk by. So you don't have to do the things the way the world does them. See, God never said in his word, you have to get a college education. Hallelujah. Doesn't say his word that. Am I against education? No. God didn't say that. Let's talk about the place in meditation. There is a place in the meditation of God, or there is a place of meditation in God's spirit that the Father can actually take you to. It's a place where you meditate till the Word becomes a part of you and you actually become a part of the Word. It's a place in Him and in His Spirit, for you no longer mentally assent to facts that happened over 2,000 years ago, or even 4,000 years ago, or 6,000 years ago, but rather they become a reality. See, the Word has to become a reality. Now, if I were to ask somebody in this room to tell me, well, I'll tell you, I can do this. If I were to bring my wife up and have her explain to you what happened when she fell on a flight of stairs, you would know that thing was alive to her. Why? Because it happened to her. Now, the thing is this. When you get born again, the Word of God moves inside of your spirit. It's inside of you. But through meditation, it's when it becomes real to you. See, the thing is, if you got a problem and you know what the Word of God says, but you consider what the natural out is, or the natural way out, or the natural solution is, versus what the Word says, guess what? you're going to get bad counsel. You're going to get cheated.
Amen.
You're going to get robbed.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy's going to see to it that you get robbed.
Amen.
Now, that robe may look so attractive.
Mm-hmm.
It may look so attractive. I know a guy that he worked at a large corporation, making a six-figure salary.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, somebody across town said, we'll give you more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what he did? He went to work to get more money. About 6 months, 7 months after he got over there, they started cutting back and laying off. So they laid off his supervisor above him, the two supervisors above him, and took their jobs and put it on his plate. And then turned around and said, we got to cut your salary by 20%. So now he's like, what do I do? Now what did I tell him? This book of the law shall not meditate, shall not depart from your mouth. But thou shalt meditate thereupon day and night, so you can observe and do all that is written therein. For it ain't a little bit late. It's never too late.
Amen.
It's never too late.
Amen.
Never take that thought. Never take that. Never have that mentality. That it's too late, God. It's never too late.
Amen.
God knows exactly where you are, and that's what the grace of God is all about. It'll make up, because if God does not look on the outward man, God looks on the heart. And God understands where you're at. God understands what maybe certain teachers didn't teach you right, or you didn't learn anything. But now if you've been sitting under these kind of teachings and you don't know anything, not his fault, not my fault. Okay? But there is a place in God through meditation that he can bring you to the place where every scripture you read, especially in the New Testament, becomes alive. Becomes alive to you. And you'll ache and you'll yearn. God, why am I not living that scripture? Here's one that I'm really digging into. Whatsoever you ask in his name, he'll give it to you. Whatsoever you ask. He didn't say whatsoever some things you ask. He said whatsoever you ask of him. If you ask according to his word. If you ask according to his word,
yeah,
you will receive.
Amen.
I got some big asks.
Go ahead now.
I got a lot of things. I better see that record. Y'all better think I probably off your cursing. I said A-S-K-S. I got a lot of big asking. I can ask God a whole lot of things. See, y'all ain't meditating. Y'all meditating on the wrong thing. Come on, somebody. But again, when we see those scriptures, we ought to become upset with ourselves. Why do I have that? And when you see that, don't get upset with yourself when you get frustrated. Just go, I need to go meditate on this word.
Amen.
And we're going to teach you how to do that. It does not mean you're going to spend 24 hours a day thinking about the word. Again, there's a place in him where you'll realize he carried your sicknesses and carried your pain. By his stripes you are healed, and that becomes a reality. This is the place where you can get lost in the Holy Spirit as he begins to paint a picture on your heart. Do you remember several weeks ago I talked about your heart and what your heart is? Does anybody remember what your heart is? What is your heart? It's not your spirit. It's not your soul. It's not your body. What is your heart? Can anybody tell me? Apparently, now, for those of you who are listening to this recording, there are people in this room. Some are scratching their heads. Some got frowns on their faces. Some got all kind of twisted expressions. Because, yes, ma'am, go ahead, Miss Coffee. Now, remember this.
Oh, I know.
There you go. What three? Spirit, soul, and body. What is your soul made of? What else?
And your desires.
Desires. Intellect. Amen? Decision making. That's in my heart. And all three of those areas come together. And that's what God is trying to change in me. He's trying to fill it up. Why? Because the world fills up with what? Worldly things. Fear. Anger. Division. Doubt. Do you know why you're not a millionaire? Well, hold on. I don't want to give you a business. Do you know why I'm not a millionaire?
No.
My wife is going, yeah, I want to know why. She's like, yeah, I want to know this. You know why I'm not a millionaire?
Yes, sir.
Because I was never taught how to be, how to think like a millionaire.
Oh, wow. You
just don't know how to be one.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how to be one. See, people that grow up in money, they're taught these things all their lives.
Yes, sir.
But listen, you got a daddy?
Yeah.
He owns it all. He owns it all. He, listen, he knows more than them guys that got millions. He knows more than they do. And listen, he can send you into where they are, where they work, and you can just take everything from them because he's smarter than they are. But you're going to have to take your counsel from him, from his word, and not from the world. See, the world, for the most part, you know what he told us African Americans? You're going to be poor. You're going to be second-class citizens. You're never going to amount to anything.
Yeah.
And many of us, many of our people, black people, we're on food stamps. Not all of them. Now, I'm not hating the black race. But we're on food stamps. We live in poverty. Yada, 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 yada. We bought that lie. We bought that lie. And the bottom line is we don't have that. I'm just using them as an example. But there are lies that the world has told the Hispanic crowd.
Amen.
Lies that God, that not God, but the devil has told the Caucasian man.
Amen.
You know, there are races that walk around thinking they're all in the bag of Cheetos, and they're not.
Amen.
And one day God's going to show them.
Lies.
I tried to tell you, he wasn't all that. So here's my point.
Yes, sir.
We've got to learn, we must learn how to take our counsel from the Lord, from the Word of God. But there is a place where you can get lost as the Holy Spirit begins to paint a picture of God's Word in your heart. Each verse will be like a stroke of His brush to bring His Word into reality in your heart. So much so that all of a sudden you'll begin to see. You'll begin to understand it more than you ever have before. Because why? Your heart is becoming alive unto Him and not unto the world. See, when you continue to have fear and anger, doubt, and disbelief that the Word is not working for you, that means your heart is full of that. Jesus said these words, out of an evil treasure of an evil man, evil comes out. Okay? So I don't have to say these things being negative. That's just what they are. That is what they are. But the bottom line is, we as born again children of God, what should be in our heart? God's Word.
Amen.
God's Word.
Amen.
And we should have meditated on this Word until it became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Let's talk about the method that Jesus used to teach. When Jesus taught, the first thing he would teach in, the first thing is he would teach in total and complete subjects. Using the mastery and the imagery of words, he would begin with the subject, and by the time he was finished, he would have painted a perfect picture in your spirit. So when you're reading the words of Jesus, just know this, he's painting a picture in your spirit. Quit looking at the words and think the words are going to just jump off at the page and slap you around. No, those words are in your heart. And they'll come alive out of your heart. Out of your heart. Every verse and every scripture, within each verse and each subject matter, there is a picture within that image. And in that image is a thought within itself. It is a stroke of the brush. But invariably, it is always building toward the completion of the entire picture. If I were to have an easel up here with a canvas, and I painted the trunk of a tree, I wouldn't know it's a tree trunk, but would you? Depending upon how good an artist I am. And then if I on the side of this tree, if I drew something green, you would assume that's what? A leaf. But isn't something missing? The branches are missing. So you would guess, I don't know if it's a tree or not. Well, now, think about that. Keep that in mind. This is how we've done the Word of God. We've taken verses out of context. Can I give you one?
Yes, sir.
You sure you want to give me this one? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And we use that scripture to take up an offering every single time. And when you're not getting good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over kind, you get upset. Why? Well, in the first place, darling, he wasn't talking about an offering. Now, you can use that verse if you want to as an offering. I'm not saying you can't. But when you start, when you're coming against a problem, and you're using that verse, what you've done is you've taken a seed, let's say an apple seed, and you're going to plant this apple seed in the ground, and you expect to get a tree, an apple tree, right? But you decide, I want 4 apple trees. So you take that seed, and you smash it with a hammer. And you take those pieces, and you put them in 4 different holes. And you're thinking, I'm going to have me 4 apple trees, man. I'm making it. I'm smart. I've learned how to beat the system. And after about 6 months to a year, nothing comes up. Why? Because you destroyed the very image inside of the seed. And that's exactly what you do with the Word of God when you take it out of context. Through meditation, we're going to teach you how to meditate these verses in their context. And when you begin to understand the context that they're in, then when you begin to quote that verse, you will know all of the subject matter, why that came to pass. It'll be so real in your heart, you'll never have to second guess it again. And it will come to pass.
Amen.
That's what believing God's word is all about. That's what meditation is all about. Amen?
Amen.
And I wrapped it up fast, Lord. Okay. All right, now I think I can go through this, to the lesson for today. Any questions so far? This is with the laws of meditation, session number 2. And I will not get through all this in the next 20 minutes, so I'll go through as much as I possibly can. Are you learning anything?
Yes.
All right. So let's continue studying the laws of meditation. Remember, what is our foundational scripture? Psalms 1:1, and what does it say? What does it say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of God, and in his law, in his word, does he meditate both day and night. Now remember, we're talking about the laws of meditation. Now when I say something like the law of something, what does that mean to you as a born-again child of God? Yes. It happens every time without faith. It never ceases to work. The law of gravity. If I let go of this tablet, what's going to happen? If I pick it up and let go of it again, what will it happen? How do you know that? They call it the law of gravity. The law of gravity means it works every single time. So let me say if I'm going down the highway and I reach a cliff and I got to turn, but I missed a turn and I go off this cliff. And I go, God, suspend gravity. Will he do it? If he did, he violated his own word. Now, why am I saying that? Because the law of meditation works the same way. It will not fail. It will not fail. It will work. It will work. If you apply it, if you'll do what we instruct you to do, it will work.
Amen.
It always works and it never fails. This is the kind of meditation that causes the Word of God to become bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. John chapter 15, Jesus said these words. Now, how many times can you remember? Can you remember at any time that Jesus said something that did not come to pass? Listen to this. If the word abides in you and you abide in it, you could ask whatsoever you will, and it will be done unto you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get there in these last days.
Amen.
This is why I said 2 weeks ago, I said the church, as we know it today, is going to die. Because we're asking things and we're not receiving. We're seeking, we're not finding. We're knocking and it's not being opened. Some of us ain't even knocking. Some of us ain't even asking. Don't shout me down for not preaching real good. But the bottom line is, these verses are going to have to come to pass. There are a lot of ministers that are confused by these verses. Well, I'm not confused by them. They are not happy because we haven't meditated on the Word of God day and night to observe and to do all that's written therein. And then these verses will come to pass. In other words, they'll become part of you. They'll become bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. You'll become a part of the Word, and the Word will become a part of you. You will ask what you will, and it shall be done.
Glory
to God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus and the Father are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. How? As we pray in the Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit can begin to invade our heart and mind and create an intense hunger for Him that begins to drive us. However, there are certain things that we can do that can assist the Holy Spirit in our transformation process. In Romans 12:2, it says what? Be not conformed to the world, but be what? Transformed. So meditation and simulation is an aid, is something that assists in your transformation. Amen? The Holy Spirit's objective, His number one objective, is to transform you and empower your entire soul with your new nature. This is what the intense appetite and the desire comes from, to know Him. So when He begins to reveal to you the Word of God, your hunger will increase. Your desire for Him will decrease. You'll begin to see more of Him. You'll begin to want more of Him. Now, I'm going to say this, and I pray you don't take it in a way that I'm boasting. But I have almost meditated and assimilated 1 John, 2 John, 3 John 30 times this week.
Amen.
Wow. Now, here's how I'm doing. And it's effortless. I take the King James Version, and I found online, I found the very same version by Alexander Scorby, whatever his name is, okay? I turn that thing on, and I start to read. And as I'm listening to it, I'm reading the Word. Now, there are times when I'll turn that thing off, and I'll read 1 John, 2 John, and I'm ready to preach to. When I was up here praying in tongues a few minutes ago, I was meditating 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Glory to God! Now I'm going to tell you later on why I do that. But the point of the matter is this. It develops a hunger in you. It develops a desire in you. It develops something in you that want to know Him more in a personal way than just simply read the Word and mentally assent to it. Read the Word and mentally know what it says. I desire to know the mind of Christ behind these verses. And I'm willing to dig and dig and dig and dig and read and read and meditate until my meditator falls out. Till I get it.
Amen.
And there's some things in 1 John going, I don't quite understand that. And he goes, that I don't understand that. He goes, see, what am I doing? I'm setting myself up so the Holy Ghost can come when He wants to and begin to blow the revelation across my spirit, and all of a sudden, those scriptures will come alive. Now, they're already becoming alive to me because I've read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John when I started this message many years ago. I've read these things 50 times, 75 times, but I'm going to read them with you 100 times. Okay, I'm purposing in my heart to be able to read them 25, 30 times a week. Again, I'm not saying that to be boasting. I'm saying that to say, when you get into this, there's going to be an intense hunger that will develop. But again, if you want to make it real easy and effortless, turn that, find, now this night, I don't know how, for me, all I can find is King James, and so I love King James. So I read King James, praise God for King James. I got King James on the Bible, and I turn them on, and I start the tape, and I put it up. Matter of fact, I do it on my phone. I can turn that thing on, and I can listen to it. This morning, I was getting my truck washed. And I'm sitting there meditating on the Word, and that thing is playing while I'm in the car wash. Well, let me tell you how the devil works. So a guy pulls up in his truck, and parks right next to me and leaves his truck running while I'm listening to my phone. And I'm going, and I don't have any earplugs with me. All I have is just the phone. And I'm going, I am stopping, God.
Amen.
I am stopping.
Amen.
I'm not going to stop. And I can tell I was anointed, so boy, because he sat down beside me, and I can tell he was getting anointed because he was hearing what I was playing. I didn't care. Because I have an intent for the word.
Amen.
I have an intent to know him. I don't care about him. I care about him.
Amen.
I don't care about this guy next to me. And I can tell he's getting antsy. He's going out of his truck. He's slamming his door. I just deal and I'm meditating the word. I'm letting it play. And I read that thing probably 2 or 3 times. My truck got done. I turned my phone off. And when he got my truck and drove off, I went, glory to God. I just meditated 1 John, 2 John 3 more times.
Amen.
See, why was I going to sit there and do nothing but just think about nothing?
Amen.
So I figured, you know, it's a good opportunity. I can meditate on the word of God. And so I encourage you. Find whatever version that you love to read. See if you can find that version with some kind of request. On the internet has all kinds of things. I found Alexander Square for free. You can. But now let me say this. I'm getting ahead of myself. She's caused me to get ahead of myself. You need to sleep. Because that's when the mind shuts down. It doesn't really shut down, but that's when the mind starts processing this stuff. It starts sorting it out. It puts the stuff that you got to know, the long-term stuff, the short-term stuff, it puts all this stuff away. So my point is, if you're constantly listening to the Word of God, then you're not shutting it, your mind rest enough to be able to absorb some of the things that you've read that day. Now, I'm not saying you should quit playing your cassettes at nighttime. Some of you go to sleep with them on. Okay? And wake up with them on. Or they have a TV playing all night long. I'm not saying you should stop. All I'm saying is this. You need to get your rest. Because rest is important when it comes to meditation and assimilation. Now, I got ahead of myself. I will come back and teach more on that in a little bit. Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to make sure I understand.
Yeah.
So, you find a recording of someone...
The version that I'm reading.
Yeah, the King James.
Or whatever version you read.
I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you are reading with he's reading.
Yes.
Y'all both are reading it together.
Yes!
And then sometimes, while they are reading, you are praying in
tongues. No, I'll read and shut him off. I'll read and pray in tongues.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay.
Now the key thing to pray when you're reading is to pray softly. But I've gotten so used to it, I can pray real loud. I get excited. Well, when I start to, I mean, and now again, there's nothing to that. I mean, it's just what I do. There's no advantage of me doing that. It's just what I do. Just what I am involved in doing. But my point is, pray in the Spirit as you're meditating. Why? Now, see, I'm getting ahead of myself. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to give you a glimpse of what that verse is saying. And as you're praying in tongues, it will bring the revelation knowledge. And he'll reveal that to you then. Okay? Now, that doesn't happen all the time. But again, I've meditated 1 John, 2 John, 3 John more than just 50 times. I've read those verses a lot. In fact, listen. When you begin to meditate on the Word of God and you begin to assimilate it, here's what will happen. Somebody will ask you a question, and you'll go off in an answer. A guy asked me a question. I'm wasting my time. But a guy asked me a question in prison. Actually, he challenged me last time I was in prison in a cell. And he said, I made this statement. I said, Jesus died and went to hell. And he like, oh, that made him mad. Jesus didn't die? God can't die? Okay. I said, we have a miscommunication here. He goes, no, you said Jesus died. I said, I did. If he didn't die, he could not have went to hell for you. He goes, no way. So guess what? As soon as I got in the truck, man, that revelation downloaded. Here's what he told me. He says, go back over to Luke chapter, I think it was Luke chapter 15. He said, Jesus said these words, into your hand, I commit my
the Spirit.
God didn't take his Spirit. Jesus gave his Spirit. Jesus became just like you. It wasn't that Jesus died physically, or excuse me, he died physically. It wasn't that Jesus died. Jesus had that Spirit, that life, taken out of him. He gave it up. When Adam fell, see, this is where I'm going. When Adam fell, Adam didn't per se die physically. He just separated himself from that life of God. That's why, that's what the Father meant, for you were surely God. So Jesus had to die in his Spirit. I'm not saying his Spirit ceased to exist. He gave up his life and it went back to the Father. But now what did Romans 8:10 says? But if the Spirit of him that what? That raised Christ from the dead. So did he die? Well, it wasn't. Somebody's lying. Somebody's lying. Paul said, if the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead. And the Holy Ghost said, now, you got enough now? I got enough, man. But see, that's what meditation and assimilation will do. This stuff just starts going off in you. And you're wondering, where did it come from? It comes from assimilating these books over these last several years. But don't stop. Keep going. I'm going back. Man, I'm with you. I'm going over to 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Again, why? There's some stuff in there I still don't understand. There's some little tweaking that he wants to do. So the thing is, we're never going to be done meditating the Word. Now let me tell you this. Did you want to say something? Oh, okay. Let me say this to you. Do you guys understand why you're so attacked that you don't want to pray and you don't want to worship God and you don't want to sit down? Do you realize you're under attack? Do you realize that the devil understands that you're trying to go someplace that most church members just don't go?
Amen.
And he doesn't want you to go there. So when you wake up in the morning, you're thinking, I don't really want to pray. I got too busy of a day. This is one of that going on. Just know, that's not coming from your spirit. Because in your spirit has this insatiable desire to want to spend time
Amen.
With God.
Amen.
Always. When you get to heaven, you'll be like, is it time to praise him yet? We praised him an hour ago. Can we praise him some more? You'll want to praise God. Now, when I was new in the faith, I'm thinking, we're going to praise God? That's boring. Boring. Why would I say that? Because my flesh, I hadn't meditated the Word of God day and night. Now that I've meditated about private worship, oh man, you get me going on private worship, you can't stop me. You may be like, why? He just don't stop. He won't slow down. I won't. Because why? The more I worship him, the more I fall in love.
Amen.
But I said, let me say this. Most people get taken out of prayer, out of private worship, out of meditation by simulation. They get taken out of these things, out of fasting, because the enemy doesn't want you to go where God has already made a pathway.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to go. So just know, it's not that there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just under, I'm not going to say under attack, but you're being attacked. And what I meant by that, I'm not trying to say you're being just knocked around, slapped around, but he's trying to persuade you to stop. That's when you know you're on the right track, man.
Amen.
You're on the right track. Keep going. There's something. I always wondered this. Why is he fighting me so much here? What is around the next corner, the next revelation that he's afraid of? What? Why is he so afraid of that? And when I say him, I'm talking about the devil. What's he so afraid of? Why is he telling me? Why is he not allowing me to go to the Excel unit this month? You think God stopped it? Nope. So why is he fighting it so hard for us going to the Excel unit? I'll tell you why. Because boys are about to open the door for me to go into for us to go into those medical units back there and begin to pray for us.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that door's about to open up.
Amen.
And we're going to need more of you guys going with us. Because when we go in there, we will have died to ourselves and we will see the power of God begin to happen. The stale unit will never be the same.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. There are not many people, if any at all, teaching the gospel or the word the way we're teaching. There's just not that many doing it. Okay? I can tell by the way those guys are receiving it. It's not just church as usual. It's something different. And I'm excited about it. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. And I'll take up from there next week. Did you learn anything?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.